You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Friday, November 22nd, and I think this is going to be more of a talking episode than a playing one, which kind of matches how my last month or so has gone. I had quite a bit of travel, and then when I wasn't traveling, my husband was traveling, and then my three-year-old was sick. Not horribly, he's fine. It was just a kind of gross flu thing that I will completely spare you the details of. But anyway, it meant that either I was away from my kid or my husband was away from my kid and I was on sort of full-time single parenting, or my kid was sick, so I was doing nothing but staying with him. And so it's been a lot of time, not me focused at the piano, but me sort of in the rest of my life. And piano, not piano completely, but I definitely have let my practice fall by the wayside a little bit over the last month. I'm not actually inclined to beat myself up about that so much. I think that spending extra time with my three-year-old is actually a really nice thing to do. But I do think that I need to be better about making myself get up and get going on the mornings that I've claimed as mine. For example, this morning was supposed to be quote-unquote my morning, which meant that I was supposed to get up before my husband and my son woke up and get out of the house and be practicing by 8:30, and I just couldn't do it. I kept resetting the alarm. So I have to get myself back on track. And I think part of the way that I'm going to get myself back on track is I think I need to resume doing this podcast more frequently, because I think that knowing that I have to come and talk to you, even though you is about four people that I'm aware of, but knowing that I'm going to come and tell you what I did in the last couple of weeks, or knowing that I either practice today or don't practice today, but there's a consequence if I don't practice, I think I need that kind of deadline. So I'm going to stay once a month until the semester is finished. And then in January, I'm going to resume every other week. So there maybe are about four cheers about that. If you are not one of the four people who has actually let me know that you enjoy listening to this, I'd love to hear from you. I would love to know that there are actually people out there. But whether there are people out there or not, I think I need this for myself to, you know, impose deadlines and make myself actually get stuff done. One proof of my not doing deadlines the way I want to is, so I got to learn the Winter Wind Etude, you know, this one. And so I came up with this very reasonable plan, which is to spend about a half an hour a day on one page of this piece. And this is the one that it's eight pages long. So it just kind of goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. So about half an hour a day, but really the job is to do these little bits. And then, sorry. So basically do a quarter note and then a half note worth of music with the metronome at 138. So if I can do that on the whole page before the half an hour is done, I'm done. That's great. So I came up with this really terrific plan. It sounds like a great plan, right? And it really seems like, half an hour a day on each page. And of course, practicing one page informs practicing another page, right? Like once you sort of get the game in these etudes, it becomes easier, but then there's the harder parts. That seems like a really great way of just making sure that I learn this piece instead of sort of waffling about it forever, which is what I've been doing. So I even made a list. I wrote down my page numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then I wrote the dates when I do each page. And I've only managed to do this five times. So I'm going to keep going with my list. I'm going to make it happen. But I think I need the podcast to make myself do these little small term goals that I set for myself. Let me show you what I mean by this. I'm sure I've shown you this kind of thing before, but so you've just got this sea of eighth notes in there in groups of six, right? Mm-hmm. I guess it was. Really? Yes. Okay. Yeah, there we go. And one of the things that happens is that it just gets really stumbly and scary. And so ideally at tempo, excuse me, I want to be able to do, I'm not gonna be able to do this page. This is the third page, I believe. Yeah. Hear how it gets stumbly? Yeah, so it's not clear, and it doesn't hurt, but it's not quite to tempo, and it feels like it would be impossible to play it at tempo. So that's my plan. Now I just have to do it, and I will do it. I will do it. So I've been working on that sort of. I've been playing through Opus 10 and the first six of Opus 25, which often takes up my entire hour of practice, since I seem to have chopped my practice into just an hour instead of an hour and a half or two. I am looking at the three etudes, but I have to admit that I mostly am playing through them rather than practicing them. So, for example, the second one is this nice one, which let me play you part of this just so you can sort of hear how it goes. So I think one of the things I need to do with this, aside from actually practicing it instead of just playing through it, I think I actually need to put it with the metronome a little bit, because I'm being really super, super, super indulgent with my timing right now, and kind of every single time I think a chord is special, I'm taking a little bit of extra time, and I think the end result is a little draggy or even seasick, and I think it would probably be really good for me to just kind of make it a little square, and then I can make my decisions from there. The other thing is that I haven't made clear decisions, I'm sure you heard this, about exactly which voice I care about the most. You know, sometimes the top voice is this really nice melody, but then sometimes there's these really cool inner voice moments, like this is the very beginning. Right? So exactly how am I going to do that? I have to think about it. So I need to play around with the voicing a little bit there, and I haven't fully decided about my tempo either. And then one thing that's kind of interesting that I sort of did this time through is that in the left hand, it's mostly eighth notes. This is in 2-4. There are some notes that are held. So this is long, but this is really long. And then here. So I have to think about that. Here's a long note. So I actually have to switch my finger on this note, on this low note. And so I'm switching from my pinky to my third finger. Or maybe I should even use, probably my second finger. Well, because then that's hard to reach. Anyway, I need to figure that out, and I haven't figured that out. So that's something to work on. It's pretty. I mean, I like playing through it. I think part of my reason that I haven't been practicing is that I've been playing through, and then my time, like the clock runs out, you know? Then the third one, this is a sort of articulation exercise. See, did you hear that? I'm totally being really indulgent about my tempo because I haven't put it in a box yet, but I will own that and know that that's what's happening and play this for you this way. He does say to use a pedal for this, but I'm finding that for now it's helpful to practice it without the pedal. I say that it immediately is a pedal. Actually kind of an interesting spot, or interesting to me. This is a place I can't quite reach. I can sort of reach this with my thumb while I'm still holding onto this pinky, but it's easier to do it with the left hand. But then when I play this note, I can't reach this, and I really can sort of reach it with the thumb, but then this note I can't reach with either hand. I'm still holding onto that F. So let me show you a couple of my options here. One is to just let the F go, the high note. Ugh. And then I should play, there we go. Let me play that again without the mess at the end. So this is letting go of the high note. So maybe that works. But it's sort of sad to let this go, which is supposed to go into this note. So then another thing I've been thinking about doing is keep the high note, take the middle note with the left thumb, which I think I actually kind of like. So let me play that for you without talking, just so you can hear it. This is taking the middle notes in the left hand thumb and holding onto the high note. I think I kind of like that because then we hear this voice going to here, and then it goes to here and here and here and here, and then that turns out to be kind of a nice line. And actually, this thing happens twice, kind of one right after the other. So I think I might do it one way one time and the other way the other time. I haven't fully made my decision about it. Anyway, let me play from there and just sort of show you how the end of this goes. Oh dear. There we go. No, there we go. There it is again. you can hear that I'm splitting these notes, but he actually says to. So here he doesn't make you figure it out for yourself. He assumes that you can't do it. And then it has this nice ending. So this, okay. So what I just played was really kind of wishy-washy. It wasn't what I want or what he wrote. I think what I actually want is this. Let me play what he wrote first. So he's actually pretty chintzy with his, like, he doesn't ever actually tell you whether this thing should be, he never says loud or soft. Like, there's not a single forte or piano marking in this. He does say dolce at the beginning. So I think it's probably not super soft, but also not super loud, of course. Dolce means sweet, or you can sort of think of it as warm, by the way. Anyway, so what he wrote was getting a little quieter, and then he says get quieter here, which I think is really lovely. And then here he says get louder and get loud, and then this is the first dynamic marking. He says double forte, which is really loud, which I have to say I think is kind of dumb. I mean, it just seems ridiculous to have this big, like, wham, wham at the end. So here's how I want it to go, and this is a can of worms I'm opening up here, but I'll open it. So what I would like it to do is something like this. To me, that makes much more sense. I am not, at this point, especially since I obviously haven't learned this piece yet, I am not going to willy-nilly declare that I'm going to just completely ignore what he wrote. But I got to tell you that there's a place where I sort of have been doing it, and I'm willing to be talked out of it, and I certainly may be talked out of it, but right now I'm kind of liking. So playing through all of Opus 10, you know, there's a lot of storm and fire in this stuff. And the way that I like to think about number 11, which is this one, is as a moment of calm. I don't have quite the completely beautiful sound I want for it, but I like the idea of it being sort of almost a breath. Because it comes in between, you know, this and this, right? So there's been there's sort of just a lot of excitement going on, and so I actually think that at the end of the piece, it's really, really nice to do. Let's see. And get quieter. Then just be quiet. And then he has these two chords at the end. Well, with grace notes. So I like to play that very quietly and gently and sort of have it be a moment of tranquility before this. Right? So what he wrote, and this is actually, I should check what Mikuli and Paderewski say about this, and I don't actually have them here. Those editions are at home. So I just happen to be looking at the Urtext right now. Anyway, so what he wrote, and that I just honestly think is dumb. Sorry. These pieces are amazing. He's an incredible composer, but this just doesn't make, I am not sold on this. Anyway, what he has is, he has this quiet. And here he has it getting quieter and slower. So he says smorzando. And then he says get a little bit louder, but he says sotto voce, which means with a soft voice. And then he has a sforzando. And then he has a double sforzando. Now, maybe those are sforzandos that are within the sotto voce. That I think I could buy. But let's see. Ugh, this is not. I've actually been playing these wrong, so I have to relearn them. So maybe he just means to do that. Maybe he means that he wants that note to be the main note. But it sure looks like he wants it to go ta-wham, ta-wham, and I don't want to do that. So I've been playing them really quietly. You know, and I need to think more about what he intended and why he wanted it to go that way before I completely am cavalier about just deciding I'm going to do it how I want it. But I got to say that I kind of think that sometimes his endings are once in a while a little bit silly. Like at the very, 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 very end of Opus 25, you know, you've got this whole thing. Right, so you do this for a couple pages. This is after you've played the Winter Wind and after you've played the octaves, which I totally can't play yet. Right, so you've just done it. Actually, the last three are pretty intimidating. So you have the octaves. Anyway, I'm not going to try and play that for you right now. And then you have the Winter Wind. Okay, so then you have this, which thank goodness isn't quite as hard as those, but it still is like big sound, passion, giant, crashy, bang, bang, bang. Not that I'm going to try and bang. I want the sound to be warm and beautiful, but, you know, it's big. Anyway, so here's what he does at the very end. Isn't that a perfect ending? It would be, but then he does this. So let me play it again without talking so much. So where's a good place to start? Here we go. I just think that last chord is kind of dumb. It's like it's so wonderful to have it go all the way down to the bottom, and I just want it to end there and not to do. Actually, I suppose it'll ring through. Maybe I can have this feel like it's just sort of supporting the overtone series. So if I have, maybe that's the way to think about it. Anyway, as you can tell, I'm not feeling fully compliant with some of his endings. Anyway, those are some of the main issues kind of going on in the music right now. I wanted to tell you about a couple of things that I think are affecting my practice and that I think will affect it much, much, much more. One is that I've been beginning my practice session by meditating for 2 minutes for about a year and a half now, and I've been really pleased with the results of that. And I actually have changed that so that I started meditating 10 minutes a day, and I'm actually doing 15 minutes a day now. And the program I'm doing is going to be having me do 20 minutes a day pretty soon. This is another reason why I've been struggling to find enough time to practice, because I'm eating up way my practice time with my meditation time. I need to find a better way of that. What I have to do actually, I'm just going to say this out loud because it's the truth, I have to go to sleep earlier so that I can get up early and meditate before anybody else is awake. That's what I have to do. Instead of going to sleep late and getting up when I want to, you know, to sort of normal, quote unquote, normal time, and then getting to school and using my practice time for meditating. I have to change that. Anyway, the meditation that I'm doing, it's with a program that's an app and then it turns into a subscription called Headspace that I'm pretty happy and impressed with. So I'll put a link to that if you're interested in that. And then the other thing I want to tell you about that I'm totally excited about is I've started taking Alexander Technique lessons. And Alexander Technique is a sort of way of training movement awareness with the idea that you sort of use your body in the most efficient, effective way possible. And it's been completely around the edges of my training my whole life. And I did a little bit of sort of Alexander-influenced work when I was, like, just specifically body work when I was in college. That was really, really important for me. And then my teacher, like I said, my piano teaching that I've had has been very much sort of informed by and resonating with Alexander Technique. But I've never actually taken straight ahead, this is an Alexander Technique lesson, this is the training of it. And I've started. So I'm doing Alexander lessons every 2 weeks. And I think it's going to completely change my relationship with my neck, which is going to be great. Because right now I store all of my tension with my neck in my neck, and I use my neck kind of weirdly. And whenever I think something's difficult, my neck goes forward. And I just have all these bizarre habits that I think I might actually be able to change. I'm really, really excited about that. So those are a couple things I wanted to let you know about. So that is pretty much what's going on. So that's it. You can find out more about this project at playitagainswig.com. I'd love it if you'd like my Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.